Today's Shiur Masechet Bava Kamma, Daf Pei Beis, and we will begin on Daf Pei Beis Amud Aleph, on top of Amud V'chi Cha'asa Rav Oven. We had learned in the previous Shiur, the Gemara had quoted the different rules that Yeshua had enacted as Klal Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael. Ask the Gemara, V'chi'asa Rav Oven, Amrav Yoichran, there's another rule that Yeshua put into place that wasn't mentioned in the previous year. And that is, Echad Ilan Noichel Tech Stei Chaveri, if there's a tree that is overhanging into somebody else's field, Echad Ilan Asamuch Lemeitzer, if there's a field right next to the border, within 16 amos of the border of the next field, maybe the Kairi. We know that the first fruits that grow, we have to bring Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash, even though this tree is nourishing from someone else's field, it's not considered gzela, and that certainly you can't bring fruits that were stolen to the Beis HaMikdash for Bikurim. You still may bring those fruits, and they're considered ashnosatali. They're considered the fruits of the owner of the tree. Why? That was part, one of the rules that Yeshua made up. The fruits that grow from such a tree remain the property of the owner. So why was this left out from the list? So the Gemara, and this is what the Mashal explains, the Gemara changes its entire perspective. This Bryce that we've been learning about the various rules that Yeshua enacted actually is not a Bryce. It actually represents the opinion of Yeshua ben Levihi. Yeshua ben Levihi is an Amira, and is a Machloikis Amaram, what is and isn't included in the rules. Rav Yochanan has one list, and Yeshua ben Levihi has a different list. Says the Gemara, Rav Gvim ibe Kosu Masan Labahedja. Rav Gvim ibe Kosu learned this explicitly. Rav Tachan, Rav Burius, Amri Mishum Zakum Achad, and who was that Zakum, Man Rav Yeshua ben Levihi? Asara Tanoim Hisni Yeshua, he made 10 rules. So as the Mefarshim explain, just like when Yeshua brought Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, he made 10 rules, 10 new rules, so too did Ezra do it when he brought Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. And we'll follow the same approach, format, as we did in the previous year, meaning that we'll just learn the Braisa that teaches us the rules without explaining them at great depth. And as we, Mitzvah Shem, learn each one of these in the Takonis, in the Gemara, we'll work with them. Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach. Says the Brice, Asar Takonis Tikin Ezra, 10 rules. One is Shekarim B'mincha B'Shabbos. Mincha, Shabbos afternoon, we'll read from the Torah. V'karim B'Shenim B'Chemishi. We lay on Mondays and Thursdays. V'donim B'Shenim B'Chemishi. The Batei Dinim are open Monday and Thursday. U'mechaps B'Chemishi B'Shabbos. Laundry is done on Thursday. V'oichlin Shum B'Erev Shabbos. Garlic should be eaten on Friday. A woman should get up early in the morning to bake bread, challah. A woman should wear breeches, she should wear proper underwear. Before a woman goes to the mikveh, she should do chafifa, whether it means combing the hair or washing herself with warm water. Peddlers should be allowed to go around the city to sell perfume. The tikkun tefillah lebalakarian, that somebody who has relations or somebody has an emission of zera, of semen, should go to the mikveh before he davens or he learns. Mefarshim point out, here the Gemara just listed 10 different rules. And only by this last rule does the Gemara add the word v'tikkun. Why doesn't it say by the other rules? So I saw two pshatim. One pshat is, all the other rules are new rules that Ezra enacted. This rule of going to the mikveh, Ezra didn't invent the concept of a mikveh. All Ezra did was say that one should go to the mikveh even under these circumstances. So it's not something which is completely new, and that's why the Gemara used the word v'tike. The other pshat, relevant l'aloch l'maisa, is that we know, and we'll discuss it later in the Mitzvah Shem, that even though Ezra made this rule of going to the mikveh, the Gemara says, Masechet Bava Basra, that Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira nullified the rule. So what the Gemara is saying is it was a tikkun. It was only a takana, but it wasn't the rule that was actually enacted and fulfilled versus the other rules which remain in effect. And as I said, now we're going to begin learning each of the rules. Shikar Mimincha v'Shabbos v'Shem Yosh v'Kronos. Why do we lay in Shabbos afternoon? Because the people shouldn't sit around doing nothing. Pasha Pshat is that Shabbos is a long afternoon, and if people won't have to go to shul to hear Kriyas HaTorah, we're afraid that they will just waste their time. Another pshat that I saw is that that was the time when Rabbonim would say drushes. But we know that people aren't that anxious to go hear drushes. But if they have to go to shul anyway to hear the laning, then they'll remain to hear the drusha. Mefarshim ask, why is there only a rule to, just one more point. We know that Mincha, Shabbos afternoon, we say before Kriyas HaTorah, actually, V'anis filasi l'cha Hashem, Eis Ratzoin, L'kim B'roiv Chazdecha, Neinim B'emes Yishecha. And it's also connected to this Gemara. Meaning, when you have a Jew who spent the entire morning in shul already, and now he goes home and he had his meal, and instead of spending the rest of the time at home with his family or whatever, he comes back to shul, to daven, and to hear Kriyas HaTorah, and as we just said, perhaps to even hear a drasha, there is no greater eis rotzen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than when he sees us acting in such a manner, and we should take that opportunity to daven to Hashem for what we need. Why on Yontif afternoon don't we have Kriyas HaTorah? So Mefarshim discuss two reasons. One is, on Yontif we know Oichel Nefesh is permissible. So since we're allowed to do malacha on Shabbos afternoon, we can't do malacha. So we should go to shul. Yontif, we're allowed to do certain malachas. So people are more busy, and therefore, busier, and therefore they go to shul. Another pshat is, the Gemara says, and we've said this concept, the din of Shabbos and din of Yontif are not the same. On Shabbos, there's a din of Oynik Shabbos. On Yontif, there's a din of Simchas Yontif. Simchas Yontif is a much higher level than just Oynik Shabbos. That's why on Yontif you have to eat meat. Shabbos you don't necessarily have to eat beef. All in the same rule. So that's why Shabbos, on Yontif it is a din of Chatzil Hashem, Chatzil Lachem. Spend more time eating. Shabbos, it is not as important. The interesting vort from the Baal HaTanya. The Baal HaTanya says the most significant aliyah from all the Kriyas HaTorah in the week is Shabbos by Mincha. He says it's based on this Gemara. People think that's not such a great aliyah. He says it's the most chashva aliyah. It says that he used to tell bar mitzvah boys that that's the aliyah that they should take. He says the Gemara calls it yoshve kronos. We know the keren is the head of the animal, it's the horn. Says the Baal HaTanya, the kriya b'mincha is yoshve kronos. Who gets that aliyah? The person who's the yoshve keren, the person that's sitting on top. Says the Gemara further, v'shekaren b'sheni b'chamishi. And that we should have kriyas HaTorah on Monday and Thursdays. Ask the Gemara, Ezra Tikin, is that a rule of Ezra? For Mikara Masakna, that's an old rule. The Tanya, the Pasuk says, V'yelchus shloishes yom b'midba v'leimotsu mayim. Darshi Rishumas Amru. Darshi Rishumas means people who try to understand what the Pasuk really means. That the Pasuk really means Eimayim el Torah. The Pasuk is referring to Torah. Shinema, Hoy kol tzomei l'chula mayim. Torah is the water. Kivin shalchus shloishes yom b'loi Torah. When they had 3 days without Torah, nilu, they became exhausted. And therefore, the Nevi'im Shabinehem, the Nevi'im established this Teknolahem, Shekarim B'Shabbos, that we lay in Shabbos, Umafsikin B'Ech B'Shabbos, then Sunday we don't lay, V'Karim B'Sheni, then we lay on Monday, Umafsikin Shlish Revi, Tuesday, Wednesday, not, V'Karim B'Chamishi, then Thursday, Umafsikin Erev Shabbos, and not Friday, Kadesh Lo Yilinu Gimel Yom B'Loi Torah, that there shouldn't be 3 days without laying. What's the significance of three? So Mefarsh explained, we find in the halacha on a regular basis the significance of the number three. Three is a chazaka. Another pshat is that the Gemara says, I think it's the Gemara Masechta Sukkah, that says the Yetzirah, first he starts with a person just like just passing by. Then he becomes a little more, that's the first day. The second day, he becomes more permanent, and by the third day, he's already your boss. So we know that the best antidote to Torah is learning. So we can't have 3 days without laning. So that's why he made up that Monday and Thursday we should lane. So what are we saying that it was Ezra? It was much earlier. Answers the Gemara, Mikara Teknu Chad Gavra Telsipsuki. The first rule was that one person should have an aliyah, where we read for him three psukim. Inami, plus a gavra, there were three people, plus a psuki. But each one got one pasuk for Kriyas Atayra. Kenegikana Mavim Yisraelim. Also, who tikkun plus a gavri, he, as we now have, we have three people getting aliyahs, a sar psukim, and we read a minimum 10 psukim, Kenegikana sar batlanum. Every city is supposed to have a sarbatlonim. Sarbatlonim, there's two pshatim. One is 10 people who sit in shul and are available just to be there if you need a minion or whatever. So that's why we read 10 psukim. Another pshat sarbatlonim is that every city needs to have a minimum of 10 functionaries that do the communal work. Three dayanim, two gabayim who collect staka, one gabay who distributes it, so we already have six. Then we have a shamus, who's seven. Then we have a court scribe, a court officer, and a teacher for the Talmidim, bringing us to the number 10. So that's why, to commemorate that, we have 10 people, and that's why we have 10 people getting an aliyah. Farshim also say, here we see, Gevalda Gevart, that Torah is compared to water. What is comparison of Torah to water? We know that the most basic staple food item that you need is water. You can't survive without water. Our attitude to Torah should be like to water, that we can't survive without Torah. Mefarshim also asked, why do we have to institute Kriyas HaTorah? We have a mitzvah to say Krishma twice a day. And when we say Krishma, Krishma is Torah. So why are we not making the mitzvah Talmud Torah Krishma? Answer the Mefarshim, since the purpose of saying the Krishma is not for the sake of Talmud Torah, but the purpose is to be mekayim the mitzvah Krishma, so you're not yoytzi the mitzvah Talmud Torah by saying Krishma. You have to hear the Kriyas HaTorah. Amdu Nevi'im is Moshe Rabbeinu. Right. Now, in understanding this Gemara, there's a fundamental issue that has to be discussed. First of all, Tosfos asks, before we go further, why Monday and Thursday? Why Monday and Thursday? So he says, because Moshe Rabbeinu, when he went up to get the Luchas, was on a Thursday, and he came down on a Monday, so that gives those 2 days significance, and that's why those 2 days were chosen for Kriyas HaTorah. Now, as we understand these Gemaras, so we know, in every week, leaving Yom Tov on the side, there are four times when we lay. There's Shabbos in the morning, Shabbos afternoon, and Monday and Thursday. And there are a lot of questions, very significant issues that come up in understanding the halacha of Kriyas HaTorah. The halacha of Kriyas HaTorah, we know, we could only read it with a minion. But there's a famous chakira from Chaim Brisker, how do we view Kriyas HaTorah? Is Kriyas HaTorah an obligation on the tzibur? That just like the tzibur has to daven, you have to have Kriyas HaTorah. That's part of the services, so to speak. Or is there an obligation on every yochid to read the Torah, but the way you can fulfill your obligation is only with a minyan present? What's the nafkamina? There's a very big nafkamina. Nafkamina is, let's say you only have six people who didn't hear the Kriyas HaTorah. Could you lay? If it's an obligation on the tzibur, so just like for tefillah b'tzibur, mikra hadin, shisha mespalalim is enough, so too for Kriyas HaTorah, shisha, people who didn't, six people who didn't hear the laning would be enough. If, on the other hand, it's an obligation on each individual, it's a whole different obligation. So we need 10 people to lane, and otherwise we couldn't lane. Actually, this question has relevance to a different shayla. We know that Rosh Hashanah is on Shabbos, we don't blow the shayfar. Why? Shem yever en adal ram shus rabbi. We're concerned you're going to carry the shayfar. We don't take the Dalaminim on Sukkot when it's Shabbos, Shemi Avren Dalaramis. So why do we lay on Shabbos? Why are we not concerned that you're going to carry the Sefer Torah? So the simple teretz is as follows. Rosh Hashanah isn't always on Shabbos. So if 1 year, there's 1 day Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos, so we won't blow the Shofar. That doesn't nullify the entire Tekiyah Shofar. If 1 day of Sukkot is the Shabbos, there's still 6 other days of Yom Tov. But if we're going to make a rule that you shouldn't lay on Shabbos because you're going to carry the Sefer Torah, then you'll never lay. That you can't have a gzeira that completely nullifies the entire rule. But the other teretz is based on what we just said. If the chiyuv kriyas ha'taira is on every individual, like it is by Dalaminim, like it is by Shaifer, so we have a concern that this individual, in his great eagerness to do the mitzvah, will carry on Shabbos. Here, as we suggested, it's not a din on the yochid. It's a din on the tzibur. A tzibur, we don't have to be concerned. It's not a din on every individual. On the tzibur, we don't have to be concerned shem yavirena. Where else is this very relevant? La'aloch la'maisa. What will be the din if you miss Kriyas HaTorah Shabbos morning? You miss Kriyas HaTorah Shabbos morning, what do you do? And frankly, the same question comes up. What's the din if you miss Kriyas HaTorah on Monday and Thursday? What do you do? There are Paiskin that want to suggest that the din of Kriyas HaTorah of Shabbos morning is an entirely different din than the Kriyas HaTorah of Monday and Thursday. Monday and Thursday, as the Gemara we just learned taught us, is because we want people to be mekayim mitzvahs Talmud Torah. And therefore, if somebody missed Kriyas HaTorah on a Monday or Thursday, perhaps he shouldn't lane Monday afternoon or Thursday afternoon. He should just go and learn. You don't have 3 days without learning, so come to the shiur, and you'll have Talmud Torah. Even though lahalocha, the Pais can say that if you missed laning on Monday or Thursday morning, and you could get together a minyan for mincha, or maybe shisha mispalim, based on the question that we just discussed, the minyan is to lane. However, it shouldn't be done on a regular basis. It shouldn't be done. Now some Paiskim ask, on the Thursday laning, so if you miss Thursday, you already had the 3 days without Torah. Tuesday, Wednesday, we don't lane. And if you miss Thursday, Friday's too late to make it up. But what is if you miss Monday? So some Paiskim suggest, we want a chaperayin that we shouldn't have 3 days without Torah. So we can still lane on Tuesday. And we'll have Sunday, Monday, and we'll lane on Tuesday. So what would be the halacha if you miss Kriyas HaTorah all of Monday? Shacharit, Smincha. Could you lane Tuesday? Paiskim are pretty unanimous that there's no Kriyas HaTorah on Tuesday, even if you missed it on Monday, even if you want a chaperayin. Take out a Gemara and learn. Take out a Chumash and learn. But what about if you missed laning Shabbos morning? Which also touches on an interesting question that comes up, actually going to come up this year. Shavuos. So we in Chutz La'aretz have 2 days Shavuos. Shavuos in Chutz La'aretz is Friday, Shabbos. At Yisrael, there's only 1 day Shavuos. Friday. Shabbos is a regular Shabbos. So they will not have the same parshas as Shavuah from that Shabbos until we catch up, which I think is Chukas Polak, until we catch up with each other. So now, let's say somebody from Eretz Yisrael comes to America. Somebody from America, not America, Chutz La'aretz. Somebody from Chutz La'aretz goes to Eretz Yisrael, the Shabbos, the day after Shabbos, the next Shabbos. He lives in Eretz Yisrael, but he had the week before, or he lives in Chutz La'aretz, he had the week before a different Kriyas HaTorah. So he missed the parasha. What is the din? And certainly the Paiskim say that to have on a regular basis in Eretz Yisrael, Chutz La'aretz Minyanim, because we have a different Kriyas HaTorah, is inappropriate, because the Lois is going to do. So what do you do? Essentially, the question is, can you lane to catch up Shabbos afternoon, the entire Parshas HaShavua, that you have the circumstance of Eretz Yisrael, or in the circumstance where you missed laning Shabbos morning? And the Paiskim debated. The point is the point that we made. Is it a chiv on the yochid to hear every parasha from the Sefer Torah? So if I missed it, I have to try to make it up. So I should hear it Shabbos afternoon. If on the other hand, the chiv is on the tzibur, so the tzibur has to lane Shabbos morning. That's the time. There is no other time. There is no Kriyas HaTorah Shabbos afternoon. And you don't make it up by mincha. Lahaloch lamaisa, the Shar Ephraim, which we know is the handbook for all Rabbonim. My Rebbe, Rav Tovia Goldstein, used to say that in Europe, every Rav had a Shar Ephraim in his talis bag. That way he knew if he had a shaila where he could look. The Shar Ephraim says that you can make up a Kriyas HaTorah Shabbos afternoon that for whatever reason you need to make up. But he says the way to do it is not start mincha and lane in the time you normally lane after Ashrei Volatzin, Rather, if you have to make up a Kriyas HaTorah, lane whatever you have to lane before you say Asher Yevolet Tzion, then say Asher Yevolet Tzion and lane the proper laning for that Mincha afternoon. Furthermore, the Shevet HaLevi says, this is, again, not something that should be done on a regular basis. In other words, we shouldn't have a shul that makes a decision, you know, it works for our schedule, Kriyas HaTorah in the afternoon better than in the morning. It's not something that we should do on a regular basis. Zok the Gemara Vayta. The Donin, B'Sheni B'Chamishi. The days the Bezdin sits on Monday and Thursdays. The Shechichi, the Oslo Mikra B'Sifra. Since people, not every small village had a Sefer Torah or had a minyan, so people would come into the cities on Monday and Thursday to hear Kriyas HaTorah. So they established that should be the day that the Bezdin sits. So Rishayim asked the obvious question. Ezra made all the rules that we're learning to make things better. Originally, Bezdin sat every day. And now Ezra is saying, no, you don't have to come to Bezdin every day. Monday and Thursdays are enough. Is that appropriate? So some say what the difference between Ezra and before, pre-Ezra and after Ezra is that, yes, the Bezdin was open every day, but it wasn't in every city and every town. What Ezra established is that every city and a town had its own Bezdin, but it's difficult to have them available all the days of the week, so they made up Mondays and Thursdays. That's one pshat that I saw. Another pshat that I saw, interesting pshat, Rabbanim also have to learn. So if Rabbanim will be in Bezdin all week long, they'll never have a time to learn. So Ezra said, Monday and Thursday should be the days that the Bezdin is open, and you should be occupied with the Bezdin, and the rest of the week you should sit and learn. Says the Gemara, V'shei mechapsim b'chamish v'shabbos, laundry should be done on Thursday, mishum kfar haShabbos. And here we have a very fundamental machloikis, hapoiskim, that's relevant la'aloch l'maisa. What's the reason that this was done? Some say that Ezra wanted to make sure that we should all have freshly laundered clothing for Shabbos. So he said, make sure that Thursday the laundry should be done, so you'll know you have clean clothing for Shabbos. Another pshat, the Paiskim suggest, is because people are busy on Erev Shabbos, preparing for Shabbos. And in those days, doing laundry was time-consuming. They didn't have wash dryers. So he said, do it on Thursday, so you should have time on Friday. What's the nafkamina? Nowadays, when we have washer dryers, so could laundry be postponed till Shabbos? Till Friday, I mean. Chas v'shalom Shabbos. If we say the reason is that they should have freshly laundered clothing, so obviously, as long as you have the clothing ready for Shabbos, you could do it Friday, do it Friday. You have to do it Thursday, do it Thursday. But if the point is that he doesn't want it done on Friday because he wants the people available on Friday for other things, then even nowadays, laundry should be done on Thursday. And because that's already too far from Shabbos. The truth is, the Pais can say what you say, that if Thursday doesn't work, you should do it on Wednesday. But you want to do it as close to Shabbos to show you doing it on Shabbos. It's a machloikis. What is the halacha? The Shmir Shabbos Kochosai seems to say it could be done nowadays, Friday. Rosh Hashanah Zalman Orbach seems to feel it should still not be left for Friday, only if you had no choice. Furthermore, V'sharech L'Shem V'Erev Shabbos, V'Shem Oina. Why should garlic be eaten on Friday? Because people have relations Friday night. The Ksiv, the Pasuk says, Ashapiria Yita B'Itai, V'Amar Yehuda V'Temer Rav Nachman, V'Temer Rav Kahana, V'Temer Rav Yochanan, Zuh M'Shamish Mitos V'Erev Shabbos L'Erev Shabbos. Relations are done Friday evening, and as the Mefarshim say, the Paiskim say, even people who have relations more than once a week, one of the times they should have it should be Friday night. Tana Rabbanan, Chamisha Dvarim Nemar B'Shum, the five things that were said regarding garlic. Masbia makes you feel full. Umashchin, it makes you feel warm. Matzal Ponim, it makes your face glow. Marba Hazera, that's what's relevant to us. It increases the potency. For Hayra Kinim Shebnei Mayim, and it kills any parasites in the intestines. V'yesh Aymrim, Machnas Ahava, or Moitzias Akina. It brings people to feel better. So that's the proper food to be eaten before Tashmish. That's the proper food to be eaten before Tashmish. There's Machloikas Rishonim. What does the Gemara mean? When should it be eaten? Some say it should be eaten on Friday. And some say it means to eat Friday night by the Suda. Although, the Paiskim, the whole Friday night by the Suda, isn't that a little late? if you're going to have Tashmish Friday night, to eat it by the Suda. So some places can say that garlic is very potent and it works right away. Others suggest that, according to the Sifrei Chassidus, Tashmish shouldn't be done till late, so there'll be time for the garlic to work. There's an interesting vart from the Gra, a conversation between the Gra and the Chaya Adam. The Chaya Adam asked the Gra, what would be the halacha if there's an individual who's not married, a bachur, or an individual whose wife is a nida? So they're not having relations that Friday night, so does he have to eat garlic? They're not having relations. And the Gra, it's the Gra, not a Chassidish Seifa, the Gra says that every din that the Gemara says, besides that the reasons that the Gemara gives that are obvious, every rule that the Gemara gives, there are many, many other reasons that we don't know. But there's a very important reason behind them. And therefore, even though the obvious reason for eating garlic on Friday may not be applicable to this individual, the rule still applies to every individual, and everybody should eat garlic on Friday. Continues the Gemara. V'shtei isha mashkemes v'oifa, a woman should get up early to bake bread, k'dei shepas mitzui laniyim. So pash pshat in the Gemara is that the poor people knew that if they're coming to the house and the woman gets up early to bake, when they come, bread will be available. Along the same lines, the Rishonim explain, if the bread will not be ready, so you know how people are. They're not going to say, well, she didn't have it ready. They'll say she doesn't want to give. She's stingy. She doesn't want to give the bread to us. So to avoid people speaking bad about us, we should make sure to have the bread prepared early. Another pshat that I saw is that one of the most important attributes of a good wife is that she's not lazy, that she gets up early in the morning and bakes the bread. Shaila doesn't mean every day, doesn't mean only Friday. It's important to point out that the Mishnah Brura says that it's important that a woman should bake her own challis. And that, I'm not trying to ruin the bakery business, but women should bake their own challis. That is what, as our Gemara says, she should bake your own challis. A woman should wear these undergarments, Mishum Tzniyusa, that she's properly dressed. Shteisha chafefas v'tevelas. That Isha should be careful to do chafifa before she goes to the mikvah. And it's important to note, there's a machloikis, what does chafifa mean? We actually do both. Some say chafifa means to comb the hair, and some say chafifa means to wash oneself with hot water. Ask the Gemara, that's a rule of Ezra? Taraisahi. The Tanya of Rochdes Besar B'mayim, you have to be careful there should be nothing on the body when you go to the mikvah. Es besoroi, es a tuffel besoroi, or my new shar. You have to be careful that the hair should be all combed out. Answers the Gemara. The raisa, mid the raisa, leus, leune. It's enough to check, dilma makta, if anything is knotted together. Inami, mos midi, if there's anything not nice on your body, which would end up being a chatzitza. For us, EU, Ezra went and said that chafifa is required. The shaila comes up, a number of interesting shailas. The first shaila comes up is, let's say a woman went to the mikvah, and she forgot to do chafifa. Does she have to go to the mikvah again? La locha, the paiskim say, it depends. If she examined herself, even though she didn't do chafifa, of course you have to do chafifa. But let's say she didn't. If she examined herself and saw that everything was fine, then she doesn't have to go to the mikveh again. If she didn't examine herself and didn't do chfifa, she has to go to the mikveh again. Why was Ezra more concerned about women than men? We don't find that the Gemara should say that men have to do this before they go to the mikveh. So one teretz is that there's no chiv deraisa nowadays for men to go to the mikveh. There's no time that men, we don't have truma. Another pshat is, by tefillah, for something to be considered a chatzitza, it has to be something that's either ruboy, that covers most of the body, or makbid, it's something that bothers you. Men aren't as particular as women, and that's why they had to make the rule of chafifa for women more than men. There's also interesting machlaikis. Here we're saying in our Gemara, the Pasuk, the Gemara brought a Pasuk that teaches us there's a concern on the body and the concern on the hair. When we just spoke about roiv, that if there's a chatzitza or gnat on roiv of the body, then you have a problem with the tefillah. Do we combine when we try to establish, was there a roiv? Do we combine the head and the rest of the body? Or since we see that the Gemara sort of separated them, we separated them as far as Hilchos Chatzitz is concerned, and the hair on the head is looked at in separately from the rest of the body. Continues the Gemara, v'sheiroich l'machzirim bayoritz, that we allow these peddlers to go around the city, v'shem techshite noshim shleizganu al baleim. In order that women should be attractive to their husbands, these peddlers would sell perfume. And as Mefarshim explained, what it meant was that even though perhaps the storekeepers in the city don't like when peddlers walk around, it harms their business, or the peddlers of this city don't want peddlers from another city to enter the city to sell their perfume. Again, since we're so concerned about the Shalom Bayis between couples, anything that will increase Shalom Bayis is what Ezra wanted. V'tiken, asked the Gemara, v'tiken tefillah l'barkaryon, that was Ezra the one that made this rule? D'oraisahi, isn't it a rule that's midoraisa? D'ksiv, v'ish kiseitz v'men ashich v'zara v'rochetz as b'sar b'mayim. Somebody has an emission, he has to go to the mikvah. Answers the Gemara, d'oraisa hu l'truma v'kotshim, midoraisa, you only need to go to the mikvah if you want to eat truma v'kotshim. Asa hu, and Ezra came along and tikkun afilo d'vetayra, if somebody wants to daven or learn, he has to go to the mikvah. But as we said earlier in the shir, Yehuda ben Seira said that halay divrei Torah ke'esh, even though Ezra made up a rule that you should go to the mikvah before you learn a daven, and the reason was shloi tamidei chachamim mitzuyin etzel nishoiseim ketana goylim, they shouldn't be so frequent when they're having relations, and will take them away from the seriousness of learning and davening. But Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira said, "Divrei Torah ke'esh, like fire. My esh matayr, fire purifies. Somebody learning Torah purifies." Although the Rishonim all discuss, if Ezra made a rule that we have to go to the mikvah, how could Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira go and annul that rule? Isn't there a rule that ein bezdin yoch levatel divrei bezdin chaveri, a later bezdin cannot annul a rule that was established by an earlier bezdin? So there are a number of reasons, the number of answers given. One answer is that this was a rule that was really never accepted by Rav Hatzibur. Since it was never really accepted, it's not considered that he's annulling it. The Rambam says that. Another pshat that the Rishonim suggest is that when Ezra established the rule, included when he established the rule, he said that if there will be a time later on where it will be seen that this is a difficult rule to fulfill, there will be permission for later generations to annul the rule. Continues the Gemara, again, we'll follow our format. First we're going to learn the Braisa, and then we'll discuss the rules in the Braisa. Asar Dvarim Nemar B'Yushalayim, there are 10 rules regarding Yushalayim. Ein Abayis Cholot Ba, which means that the halacha is if you buy a home in a city that has a wall, if you redeem it within the first year, fine. If you don't redeem it in the first year, you can't get it back, even by Yovel. So Yerushalayim, we know, has a wall around it, but that then doesn't apply in Yerushalayim. Enem avi egla rufa, if a corpse is found, we don't know, lo yinoy demi yiko, we don't know who killed the corpse, so we have to bring egla rufa, doesn't apply to Yerushalayim. Enem nasis ira dachas, and most of the city worshipped the Avodah Zarah, doesn't apply to Yerushalayim. Enem atam ben negon, the din of nige batim, don't apply to Yerushalayim. Enem atzim by zisim and gestros, we shouldn't have protrusions sticking out in Yerushalayim. Ein osim by ashpasois, we shouldn't make a garbage dump in Yerushalayim. Ein osim by kivshonis, we shouldn't make big furnaces. Ein osim by ginis or padesois, we shouldn't make different types of garden. Chutz, meginis v'radim, except the rose garden, shahayim mimois nevim arishonim, that was already there from earlier generations. Ve'im megadlim by tanagoylim, we don't raise chickens there. Ve'im alinim by samais, and we don't let a mace stay overnight there, we bury him immediately. Now the Gemara goes into each rule. Ein habayis cholot ba, a home is not sold permanently. The ksiv, v'kom habayis ashloi choyma l'tzmisus, l'koynos l'daraisav. That if it wasn't redeemed within the first year, it becomes the customer's forever. However, says the Gemara, v'kosover, the town of this price holds, l'nischak yushlaim l'shvatim. Yushlaim wasn't divided. Which is, of course, the question, because we know that Yerushalayim isn't the chelik of Shevet Yehuda and Binyamin. So what does the Gemara mean that it wasn't divided? So Mefarshim suggests that the actual property, the real estate, wasn't divided. Homes, Yehuda and Binyamin were the ones that had the rights to build homes there, but still the halacha also is that if somebody comes, not nowadays, but in those days, if somebody comes and says, I want to stay by you in Yerushalayim, you can't collect rent. You have to invite whoever wants to come, if you have room. Then via Egla Rufa, and you don't bring the Egla Rufa, the Ksiv, Ki Matzah B'chol Ba'adama, Asher Hashem Alakecha, Nosel Chol Rishta. Yerushalayim, again, Lo Nishak L'Shvotim. Then in Asis Irin Dachas, the Ksiv Arecha, your cities. Yerushalayim isn't in that category, because Lo Nishak L'Shvotim. Then Matam and the Golem, Din of Nigei Batim don't apply in Yerushalayim, the Ksiv, Nosati Negat Tzuras, the Beis Eretz Achuzaschen. We're particularly concerned that Tumah should be at a minimum in Yerushalayim, because people in Yerushalayim, Kahanim ate Truma, and everybody else ate from the Kachin, from the Kabanas, which of course you're not allowed to eat when you're Tumah. And we know there's a Tumas Oil HaMes, that if somebody is under the same roof as somebody who's Tumah Mace, or somebody, or the Kazayas of a Mace, so they want to avoid having oil in Yerushalayim. How did you avoid having oil in Yerushalayim? By having as few protrusions as possible. Furthermore, there were a lot of people, the streets of Yerushalayim were Baruch Hashem full from all the people that came to be oil regal, so you wanted to make the streets as obstacle-free as possible. Then, you should make a garbage dump there. It's likely in a garbage dump to have a dead sheretz, which again is matama, and we just learned we want to avoid tumah Yerushalayim. We don't want to make furnaces mishum kutra because of smoke. Smoke number pshatim. We want Yerushalayim. Yefei noif misois kol haaretz. Yerushalayim has to remain a beautiful city. If there's going to be pollution, smog, it ruins the beauty of the city. It can ruin, some say, the beauty of the walls of the Beis Hamikdash. Will get black from the smoke. You shouldn't make gardens, because when you make gardens, the weeds that grow there, there's fertilizer that's brought there, which is not nice. And in fact, there are many paiskim, and it's dominic by some people, that they don't make gardens by any shul. The reason why a garden should not be made by a shul is because the reason the Gemara just gave us is Mishum Sirchen, because the Gemara says that gardens could cause Sirchen. Veim Gadon by Tanar Gailim, we shouldn't raise chickens there, Mishum Kachim. Because Kachim, again, have to remain Tahor, and the chicken, as we discussed in the previous year, may schlep a bone that's Tameh, or a sheretz that's Tameh. Veim Malina Bas a Mace, we're not allowed to leave a mace overnight there. That, says the Gemara, is a Gemara. We have a tradition. Ask the Mefarshim, in Jewish tradition, Halonis HaMeis is not limited to Yerushalayim. So why is the Gemara saying only Yerushalayim you don't do Halonis HaMeis? Halonis HaMeis should not be done anywhere. On the contrary, Api Kabbalah, there are very strong issues raised when one has Halonis HaMeis, because the neshama and the guf can't come to arrest, can't come to rest. The Svarim say, Kabbalah Svarim say, until the body is buried. And then the Neshama separates itself from the body and goes up to its Menucha Nechayna, Kachas Kanfei Ashchina. So what's special about Yerushalayim? So the Shita asked this question. The Shita Mekubetza says, and this is the Halacha, that the din is that Yerushalayim, that if it's for the covet of the mace, to postpone the Levaya. In other words, if we're going to make the Levaya, somebody dies at night, and there won't be a way of notifying people about the Ptira, and he won't have the proper covered by the Levaya, we're allowed to postpone the Levaya for covered ames. In Yerushalayim, that isn't the rule. We make the Levaya immediately, even if it'll mean not having the same covered ames. Along the same line, the halach is, there's not allowed to be a Beis HaKfaris in Yerushalayim proper. There are very few people buried in Yerushalayim, what's considered real Yerushalayim proper, again, because of cover for Yerushalayim. Continues the Gemara. We learned in the Mishnah, Ein megadlin chazirim b'kol mokim. You're not allowed to raise chazirim anywhere. Tana bara. So Mefarsh, before we go further, say, you know, we're not allowed to raise chazirim. It has nothing to do with the Gemara we're going to learn. The halacha is, a Jew is not allowed to do business b'schayra b'davar ha'asr. So what was the special rule that was enacted? So Mefarshim respond that you're not allowed to even sell, not just you're not allowed to sell ham or chazamit, but you're not allowed to even sell the skin of a chazer or the fat of a chazer. Chazer is a special, has special isurim because of what the Gemara says now, because ein megadlin chazirim b'kol mokim. Why? Tana rabbanan. We know that the Chashmonai had become the kings, and there were two brothers, Hyrcanus and Aristeles. One was appointed to be king, and one was appointed to be Kohen Gadol. But then there was a dispute between the brothers, and they both wanted to be king. So Hyrcanus was inside Yerushalayim, Aristobulus was bechutz, was outside Yerushalayim. The people in Yerushalayim would send down money to the people outside Yerushalayim, and they would send back animals to be able to bring as a carbon tamid in Yerushalayim. Farshim point out, we know that the Gemara says many places that an animal that's going to be used as a carbon requires bikur, the 4 days it has to be under watch, that it's a healthy animal. So how did they do this? Swamp pshat is that the bikur is not ma'akriv, it's not essential. If you can't do it, you can't do it. Another pshat is that they always had a supply of 4 days in advance. There was one chacham, the way Moshe Rishonim explained, he was inside. Now, if he would go stand and tell the people outside explicitly what he's going to tell them, they'd kill him. But he knew Chachma Yevonis, so he knew how to speak, so to speak, in a code that the people inside won't understand, and that's what Chachma Yevonis is. We'll discuss it more Mitzvah Shem tomorrow, Shir. So what he did was, he spoke to the people outside in a way that the people inside didn't really understand what he meant to say. Amalhem, Kozman Sha'oiskim Ba'avoida, as long as the people inside Yerushalayim are going to bring the carbon tamid every day, Ein Nimsarim B'yetchem, they will not fall. So you need to stop this. So Lamacha, the next day, Shilshul Dinarim B'kupa, again, the people in Yerushalayim followed their regular custom. They threw down money, V'helam Chazir. And instead of money, instead of sending up an animal, a kosher animal to be brought as a carbon, they sent up a Chazir. Kima Shigia L'chatzi HaChoyma, once they got up half the wall, not Tzibarnov B'choymov, the Chazir put his nails into the wall. Nizdaza Etz Yisrael, Abba Meis Parsel, Abba Meis Parsel. Etz Yisrael shook 400 parsel by 400 parsel, which is the size of Eretz Yisrael. Bois Yisrael Amru, Ara Ish Shigadl Chazerim, a person who raises Chazerim. We see what happened because of Chazerim. For Ara Adam Shilman Espinoy Chachmi Yevonis, because this Zokin knew this Chachmi Yevonis where all the Tzoros came from. And that's the time that we learned Maaseh Shabbat Omer. We know that on Pesach they brought the Karban Omer, and the Karban Omer, the Pasuk uses the words Carmel. Carmel means that it should still be moist. So preferably the Omer, the barley, they brought for the Karban Omer, which allows us to eat the Chadosh, not bring Karbanos. Karbanos we wait till Shavuos. But to eat Chadosh, we could do from the second day of Pesach, when we brought the Karban Omer, should be brought from near Yerushalayim, so the barley should be moist. Here, since the entire area around Yerushalayim was besieged, so they destroyed all the fields. So there was no barley available near Yerushalayim, so they had to bring Omer, Meganis at Srifim, and the Shtei Lechem, which they brought on Shavuos. Again, there was nothing growing near Yerushalayim, so they brought it from Bikas Ein Seichem. I saw the Mefarshim say a nice fart. Why, when the Gemara says Oror, so by Gadol Chazerim, the Gemara says Oror Ha'ish. And by Chochmas Yevonis, the Gemara uses the words Ha'odom. So the Farshim say as follows. Ish means every person. Odom usually means a person of importance. So who usually raises Chazerim? a farmer, nobody that's that special, or a ish, any person has to be careful not to raise chazayim. Or a odom, not you're a special person, but still, you're a special person, but don't learn Chacham Sivanis.